Welcome to Dudes of Beers Podcast, episode 53. I am Joe, and joining me are my co-hosts, Matthew.
Hi.
And Mr. Nair.
Hello.
Please visit dwshow.com for all of our information. On this show, we will be discussing NVIDIA's new AI supercomputer, a plasma-boring robot that can dig tunnels 100 times faster than anything else, and asking the internet to name NASA's Uranus mission.
It's Uranus.
Uranus.
It's Uranus.
Uranus.
Yeah. That joke will never end.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking the $50 million man from Three Floyds.
Indiana?
Yes, they are in Indiana. And this is...
A beer.
They don't have a... Oh, 9%. 9%. Yeah. It says a highly secretive DIPA brewed
for... Are you on call, Matt?
Nope.
Brewed for the Black Phoenix and astronaut Michael San Antonio to battle evil for the good of all mankind. ThreeFloyds.com.
Is he from Indiana?
I wonder. .com.
I don't know.
That's cool.
It says, no, he's not normal. Collect all six.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Let's pour it up. You doing it to me?
Nope, you can do it. Man. I don't want to make Matt mad.
Why does it matter?
It's just something I can just say every time because of one time.
One time.
It's one time? It
won't
can?
Let it go. Like probably 20 episodes ago, which was it's like a year and a half.
What happened? What was it?
It was
like a really good beer, and he split it, and
I had more.
Like, just
oh,
you didn't share it.
You got the short end of the stick on that one.
Yep.
Awesome.
I just should have been grateful I got to try it. Instead, I've had to say something. Mm. Now I regret it.
My favorite IPA from them is the Space Station Middle Finger.
No,
it's not yours.
Not since. Well, okay. So they have the new Zombie Ice. But in a can, it is not as good on draft. Draft is just amazing compared to a can. This smells like a lot of pineapple in it when I got a little nose on it.
Pineapple.
I get like a pine tart. Remember, like I haven't had that flavor in a long time. Ooh. That super like pine tar.
Yep, there it is.
Pine finish.
Tar. Taste it.
Pine tar. What's pine tar?
Remember how we used to get some of those beers from Beer Drop? Some of those IPAs just had like a super like piney-ness to the finish.
Mm.
This reminds me. It's good.
It's very good.
Munster, Indiana. That's super cool.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Matt, don't like that.
Yeah, it's got a good nose.
Those IBUs must be up there.
Yeah, I have to look it up on time.
Yeah, look it up. See how many IBUs.
Look it up. Look it up.
Mm. It's definitely different. It's definitely different from the other ones we have.
Million.
50 million.
$50 million man.
Ha.
I called it. 82 IBUs.
Woo.
For those that care.
Woo.
82.
Dowgy. It's not bad. Definitely more hop forward than the other stuff we've had tonight.
Has a little spice to it, too. It's really nice.
It's good. It's different. Second tastes a little better than the first. See how it goes. Mm. First up for episode 53. A new plasma-boring robot can dig tunnels 100 times faster and 98% cheaper. Okay. Earth Grid plans to rewire grids across the U.S. at record speed and... at a fraction of the cost. Like, it's like a plasma torch.
Well, there's no moving
in
heads.
In a grinder. Yeah. Well, I think there is still something that oscillates. It's just instead of using like a bit.
Yes.
Like a
diamond-coated
like a
bits,
diamond
yeah.
bit or like a boring bit, you know, kind of look like, what's that that movie that has that, the thing that's like boring. Is it boring to the center of the earth? What was that movie? Not Armageddon, but
Well, they did that the same thing in Armageddon.
Was it Journey to the Center of the Earth? Or, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But anyway, I digress. But the way they describe this thing is pretty crazy. It is a San Francisco-based startup, EarthGrid, is developing a plasma boring robot that can dig tunnels 100 times faster, up to 98% cheaper than existing systems. I mean, really, the only existing system that I'm aware of is the boring company, right?
Yeah.
From Elon.
Well, there's other places that bore just like that, but
it's just using that standard like diamond bit, yeah, or what was the other material that they would coat them with? Was it just diamonds?
Uh-huh.
Titanium or something else? I don't know. But it says this uses high-temperature plasma torches to break and vaporize rocks through spallation. Spallation is a process in which fragments of metal, spall, are ejected from a body due to impact or stress. In the context of impact mechanics, it describes ejection of material from a target during impact by a projectile. So I had to look that up because I did not know what spallation was. This eliminates the need for massive cutting wheels used by conventional boring machines. EarthGrid plans to rewire energy, internet, and utility grids in the U.S. using this technology, which think about that. If like they bored these like under neighborhoods or streets, like I don't know how far you would have to go down, 20, 30 feet, but you wouldn't have to worry about outages due to wind, somebody hitting a telephone pole. Like, that's pretty crazy. I think that could be and just think about having those like high power transmission lines like that are just running through the middle of people's backyards and stuff. If everything was underground, I mean, it would be a lot more eye-pleasing, but again, you don't have to, like, remember, like, I think we talked about it before, but the guys and gals that have to work on those lines, they have those helicopters, they go up there.
Yeah.
Like, it's dangerous stuff. If it was all underground.
Yeah, but then you have, there's a reason they're that far up.
Yeah. Because but I guess if they're underground.
What's the reason?
Well,
don't just say there's a reason. Like, what's the reason?
Because of the EM field that it puts out.
Because it would be shielded. Because you have to go through the rock.
You'd have to shield it some way.
Or line it with some kind of material to keep it from emitting up.
Because have you ever seen them disconnect those high power lines?
Is that what's going to charge the cars on the highways?
there you go. They could just bore tunnels underneath the highways and run these.
I mean, you can see they're 10 feet away from it, and it starts to arc all the way. So
yeah,
that's the rapid burrowing robot RBR, kind of like a PBR.
Yeah, that's the same thing I thought when I was reading it.
Me too. Developed by EarthGrid, has several plasma torches mounted on large discs arranged in a Fibonacci spiral for coverage. And a perfect example of a Fibonacci spiral is like a Nautilus shell, whose chambers adhere to the Fibonacci sequence's logarithmic spiral almost perfectly. This famous pattern shows up everywhere in nature, including flowers, pine cones, hurricanes, and even huge spiral galaxies in space.
Hmm.
The machine can run on electricity and has the potential to be emissions-free. EarthGrid aims to begin tunneling later this year and has submitted a patent for its machine. The energy required to power the torches varies depending on the configuration, with a low power setting requiring around 40 megawatts for a small bore, and large tunnels requiring approximately 1.38 gigawatts.
Like, gigawatts. Even 40 megawatts sounds like a lot of energy.
Where are you going to pull that from? That's what I don't know.
40 megawatts?
It's pretty big.
Even if you have to build and dedicate a substation just to do a project, and it's 100 times faster. Because
as you're tunneling, and if you're running the cable, it can
if it's 100 times faster than traditional.
And 98% cheaper.
It'd be worth it.
It's still worth it, right? EarthGrid claims it can tunnel up to 1 kilometer per day using a high-speed configuration, which is about 100 times faster than existing systems. That's crazy.
That's pretty fast.
But what the claim that was on it saying that it vaporizes. Mm-hmm. So with these boring things, when they bore it, there's still debris that comes back.
There's still some stuff that this will have to remove, but it's probably, I don't know if it's easier or more efficient. Less. So they are emphasizing lower cost for operating it, fewer workers due to robotics, and the possibility of selling excavated materials for road and concrete manufacturing.
Oh, there you go.
They face competition from other companies. Petra, which is also developing a plasma boring robot. EarthGrid aims to generate customer revenue by tunneling starting later this year, which is pretty cool. There wasn't a whole, like, there wasn't like a video or anything.
No.
Yeah.
72 plasma torches.
48,600 Fahrenheit is what they operate at.
That's pretty hot.
I'm surprised that doesn't affect anything else around it.
I don't know.
Like, you'd almost think that temperature, while boring, would almost turn certain things like into a crazy solid.
But it would, I mean, it would radiate out also.
I wonder if your grass is going to die where they're boring at because it's so hot. It's going to cook the roots from like the bottom.
Maybe.
It says that a version of the RBR using 72 plasma torches can drill a 3.3-foot bore, would only require 40 megawatts of electricity on the lower power setting. If operators need to go faster, they would have to use the higher power setting and draw a constant 120 megawatts. All of that for a relatively small hole a person could barely fit into for large tunnels, EarthGrid explains. Large rigs would have to be attached to the back of the BRB, reaching power draws of approximately 1.3 gigawatts. That's crazy. I want to see this thing in action. Next up from NVIDIA.com. So NVIDIA announced at the, they had a press conference back in May. They announced their new DGX GH200 AI supercomputer. It's a new class of supercomputers. It connects 256 of their Grace Hopper superchips into a massive 1 exaflop, 144 terabyte GPU for giant models powering generative AI, recommender systems, and data processing. So when you think about ChatGPT, this is what is running ChatGPT, something like this. Yeah, which
multiple,
is
multiple, multiple of this. Right.
Well, I think ChatGPT specifically is running on one version, one data center version of something similar to this that's running in, I believe, Microsoft Azure.
Hmm.
Because Microsoft made a big investment. I think they're using their data center, which, you know, NVIDIA supplies hardware to all the big ones. Wow. But so it's a new class of large memory AI supercomputer. It's powered by the NVIDIA GH200, Grace Hopper superchips, and the NVIDIA NVLink switch system. So having the hardware or all these nodes, whatever you want to call them, like you could think of them like a bunch of these individuals, like, you know, individual computers, you have to connect them all together. And a lot of times, especially for machine learning and artificial intelligence and stuff like this, the link in between those systems can be the bottleneck. So NVIDIA developed their own to connect them. So they connect 256 of them with their NVLink switch system, which is a very high-speed fiber channel-based system, so that they can speak to each other very, very quickly. That's what kind of makes it better than anything else to date. They aim to enable the development of giant models for generative AI, so like ChatGPT, language applications, recommender systems, and data analytics workloads. It combines, like I said, 256 of these superchips using the NVLink interconnect technology, which provides that 1 exaflop of performance and 144 terabytes of shared memory. So a lot of times with these big scale systems like this, the communications between all the different pieces is the bottleneck. Because they can't, like, if you're just running, you're running something on just one of these machines, it's very, very fast. And if you want to scale that up because you have something very, very intensive and you need it to run on multiple of them, getting them to speak to each other and communicate to each other has been the bottleneck in the past. So NVIDIA's solving this with their interconnecting, their NVLink switch, and then there's also a new one they're developing for the next version of this. That's where, you know, it's the exponential growth is coming from. Plus, just the performance and the power consumption that they're achieving through every generation of this is just crazy. If you watch the full NVIDIA conference, which was like 2 or 3 weeks ago that this came out of, they go into detail about how they can shrink the data center footprint because these take up a lot less space. Even though they're more expensive, because of the space that they require compared to another type of system, it's still saving money, power, cooling, and everything else in the long run.
Hmm.
Because they're shrinking it down to a smaller and smaller footprint.
So, quick question. So when you have multiple of these connected together and they connect with the NVLink, you said when you have one, it's super fast. But when you have multiple that try to work together on a project, are they working together kind of like a torrent when somehow a program says, breaking, I need you to work on this piece, yes, and I need you to work on this piece?
Exactly.
That's how it's...
It depends on what you're trying to run against it.
Okay.
So it's just as important how you're training your large language model, your data. It's just as important how you're training that to be ran and on what system than it is to what you're running it on. Because if you write it in such a way that it can be distributed and be broken up into pieces and run on more than one, you know, multiple systems and then recompiled, then it can happen much faster. But some things are only made to run on a single node or very few nodes. Okay. So it depends on how it's written, and that can play a factor into it.
Hmm.
That's why, you know, I think ChatGPT is running on one of these early models of this. And if you look at, like, I mean, we're at like ChatGPT 4. So they're already in the fourth iteration. I think 4 or 5 is coming soon. Like every time they refine that model, it just gets better and better and better. That also means that the way they're programming it to run on any particular system, even if it's not this one, they're refining it to be better and run better on that system as well. And use the data that it's learned against to make itself better too. It's like it's constantly like it's kind of self-evolving at some point. Which is kind of scary.
Wonder what kind of price. I mean,
they talked about that in the full.
I didn't see.
The article doesn't really talk about it, but the 2 hour or whatever keynote that they did talked about it. It wasn't specifically, but it was. They gave examples of how much you could save because of the reduced footprint and everything, and even if you wanted to use the same footprint, how much more processing power you would get in that same footprint compared. Because that's the thing, is like, you know, you're paying for that space. The more processing power you can pack into the same space, you're going to save money potentially because you're putting more in the same spot. Whereas you don't have to buy or build new data centers or expand data centers, because that now you're going to have you have to have more cooling, you have more power. The power is the big thing, right? The energy draw. As NVIDIA makes these things more energy efficient, you can do more with the same amount of power. Because a lot of data centers, and I think it talks about it in here, they're hitting a cap on the amount of power they can draw, not really the footprint.
So this is really thinking crazy and outside the box. But the problem with most data centers and any server or server farm or whatever you have, your problem is heat.
Heat can be a bit, yep.
So why can't they liquid cool?
They do in most cases.
Hold on. Let me finish, though. They liquid cool and then convert that through geothermal process back to cool. So you're using the byproduct to create another byproduct.
To heat something else.
That cools.
Yeah. No, I mean, they could. It's just like, remember we talked about like Microsoft had data centers they were putting in the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
To keep them cool. But like, I think what you're talking about, like the heat that's coming out of that data center, to keep, like, why can't you use that heat to power like homes or the grid.
Well, it's just like my geothermal at home.
Yeah.
You take
turn that. Take I don't know how heat. Hot. I don't know if it gets hot enough to produce steam or something that can drive a turbine. But
you're not really driving a turbine. You're reversing the process of taking the heat,
like a heat pump,
from a heat pump, and then turning it back into AC.
I don't know why they couldn't, and I don't know if they are doing that.
They might be. But, I don't know. It's just one of those off but the wall. That is
that could
moments.
Be like that could be a thing that could be leveraged potentially. So they were talking about the GH200 superchip eliminates the need for a traditional CPU to GPU PCI Express PCIe connection. Because normally you got like a motherboard, you got the CPU socket, then you have a PCI Express socket where you put the video card in. In this case, this is a very, this isn't like a GPU would put in like a gaming computer, right? This is a very, it's like a data center specific GPU architecture. And what they have done, they've reduced that link, that need for that link, and then increased the bandwidth between the GPU and the CPU by 7 times. And it also it decreases the power consumption more than 5 times. So that's where they're getting a lot of the savings is the bus that these things are talking over is more efficient. And I think we're going to see this with computers going forward. I mean, Apple's kind of doing it with their silicon already. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see it with others. Because they're developing everything in-house that's their own silicon, they can control a lot more of these things. Instead of going to another party to get the chip that does the GPU rendering, then they go to NVIDIA to get the GPU rendering part. They go to Intel to get the CPU rendering part. Then they got to make those talk to each other. Well, Apple's making everything on one die. They're putting the GPU and CPU on one die, the M1 and M2 and whatever comes next, M3. And they're able to make that more efficient because they're putting it on the same die. They can control how it talks to each other. They can control how it accesses the shared memory and make it more efficient.
And basically, we just talked about this in an earlier podcast about, you know, Tesla has everything in-house.
Making all their
and where
stuff,
Ford
yeah.
is wanting to do that now. And I'm sure other people will follow because they
this
see
makes
it's,
sense.
It's the way of the future.
And the this specific configuration, the DGX GH200, it's the first supercomputer to pair the Grace Hopper superchips. And the Grace Hopper superchips, it's a specialized version of their GPUs that are made for this kind of thing. With the NVIDIA, it's paired with the NVIDIA Link system and allows all the GPUs in a system to work together as one. So you can write your application. So NVIDIA has a whole framework that they sell along with this, that it has the software that you use as a developer to create these models. Mm. So when you create your model using their software, you can run it against these things easier than you could if you were trying to do it ad hoc.
So it's like downloading like AWS, and then you have that model already, and then you build off of it.
Or like... You said BitTorrent or so BitTorrent, or you think about something like SETI, SETI at home, where you're taking something, you're breaking up into a bunch of small bits, and you're sending it out to different people, different systems. They compute it all in their own time, and then it assembles them back together into a finished product. This is kind of doing that, but NVIDIA is controlling it end-to-end. So if you're using their software, their enterprise suite for their artificial intelligence, machine learning, you're going to get a lot of advantages because they've already done a lot of this work for you. So they talk about Google Cloud, Meta, Facebook, and Microsoft are among the first to gain access to this hardware for generative AI workloads. I'm pretty sure, from what I've read, this is what Microsoft is using or allowing OpenAI to use for ChatGPT, something similar to this. Because Microsoft invested a lot of money in them, and I'm pretty sure they're using Microsoft Azure, and then Azure has built something that's using the NVIDIA technology for them to run it against.
Doesn't Microsoft have their own AI?
Google's working on Bard.
Yeah, Yeah, but I thought
Microsoft is investing in OpenAI.
Okay.
Yeah, they're a big investor in OpenAI. And they're gonna integrate OpenAI technology, which is currently ChatGPT and other stuff that's coming into like Microsoft Office, Microsoft Teams. Like you're gonna be able to go in there and help it. It'll help you fill in and do generative generation for text, video, like all these things we're seeing in other apps. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be able to do that within Office probably within the next year.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. We're seeing it with like Adobe. The generative fill with Adobe beta for Photoshop, that's the kind of things that are going to be coming to Office.
And there's been a lot of, I've been seeing a lot of videos pulling up for DaVinci.
Everything's going to start AI. Using this kind of technology. Like think, you open up a Word document, and instead of just writing a paper, you can just have an AI prompt and you say, write me two paragraphs about XYZ,
so
and it's just going to do it.
Kind of like I did for my review for work.
But it's going to be built into the app. You're not going to have to go out to a separate website like ChatGPT and get its information. You're going to be able to do it within.
That'll be awesome.
The Microsoft Word, within Google Docs.
So how are these kids going to learn in school nowadays? Because
I don't know, man.
I mean, because literally in a push of a couple buttons – or a couple words or a couple sentences, you can have a 500,000 page.
That's true. So paper. On the flip side of that, there are companies that are developing technology that you can plug something into, like an image or a document, and it will tell you if it was generated by a generative AI.
Yes, but just like everything else, there's already people that are that if you do it and then you run it through this other place. They can tell.
There's always going to be there's always going to be workarounds.
They can scrub all that out of there.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for sure.
And since we're talking about ChatGPT, we actually used it for.
Yeah. So we're using it for some of our summations for some of our notes and things like that.
Just trying it out.
It seems to be working pretty good so far. We'll see. But especially when, you know, you're doing multiple articles and things like that. It's not perfect, but it's pretty. It's like 80%, pretty like, close.
Like when I used it to, I said, you know, write me a sentence for whatever I did for some of my review questions, mm-hmm. and then I had to go in and I had to edit because it just put like generic stuff in there, and I had to personalize it or
whatever. But that's still way easier than doing it from scratch.
Oh yeah, because right? it took a one sentence and made it into like six paragraphs.
Yep. Yep. So NVIDIA plans to provide this architecture as a blueprint for cloud service providers. So like Azure, Microsoft Azure, Amazon AWS, Google. I doubt Google because they're doing Bard and doing their own thing, but maybe some others. They're also building their own DGX GH200-based AI supercomputer named NVIDIA Helios. It's going to feature four of these systems. So each one of these is like a 256 Grace Hopper system, and they're going to build four of those. So over 1,000.
What?
So 1,024 Grace Hopper superchips is what they're building in their own system that they're going to run in their data center.
So
what article did we do, and it was a while back, but it was like the fastest supercomputer ever.
Was it NVIDIA or was it IBM?
I can't remember.
Or was it Tesla?
It was Tesla.
I know Tesla has Tesla. One that's pretty. But so Tesla is using their own chips. Because remember when they were using NVIDIA in the beginning?
Yes.
Remember like the first models of the Model 3. They were using the NVIDIA, and then they switched to their own. I think even the Model Y, maybe.
Because
but now they're
a supercomputer
using all
to.
Yeah.
But I just wonder what, you know, where, because that wasn't even like last year. And I wonder where that steps to what we're talking about right now. I mean.
Yeah. And they were talking about, so this new one that they're building that'll have 1,024 of these will also use their new NVIDIA Quantum 2 InfiniBand networking, which is an even higher bandwidth of interconnectivity between the systems. Like, who knows what this thing's going to be capable of.
I'm scared to know. Yeah.
So using these supercomputers with the NVIDIA software, including the AI workflow management, enterprise-grade cluster management. So when you think about a cluster, it's like you have these nodes or groups of these nodes, and being able to say, hey, I want you to run this model and give me this output. Like, that's how you kind of, like, if you're doing it in their software, that's how you get that performance.
Like, what's going to happen to cancer research because of these computers?
Holy cow, that's crazy.
Holy cow.
And it says availability of these systems outside of like a hyperscaler, like an Azure or AWS, is expected by the end of the year. So companies will be able to buy their own version of this.
That's crazy.
If they want to run their own models for
stuff. Have you heard anything about your company implementing any of this?
We are talking about doing stuff with generative AI within our products. But we don't necessarily need like this kind of hardware to do it against.
Okay.
But we're trying to figure out how to integrate this to make our products more intuitive. Even if it's like a help functionality.
Yeah.
How can we include it so it's more helpful? Because one thing you got to be careful of, and my company and a lot of other companies have already coming out with this. They're coming out with a guidelines to using generative AI and large language models. Because what you don't want to do is, like, as a developer, I don't want to take code that's proprietary to my company, paste it into ChatGPT, and say, hey, debug this code for me.
And then it uses that code for somebody else.
Well, maybe. We don't know. Like, until I can say I want a private slice of ChatGPT that doesn't get put out to the rest of the world, and it doesn't get used to train it and used publicly.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to have a lot of companies that build their own private version of something like a ChatGPT using this NVIDIA technology so that they can do those kinds of things without risking exposing their IP, their intellectual property, their code to anyone else. Because that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it. I use YouTube a lot because I don't do enough video editing every day to know every ins and outs of the program I use.
Right.
And this being built into said program, Adobe or DaVinci or what's Apple's?
Final Cut Pro.
It would be nice just to click on a button and how do I do this? Yeah. And it just walks you through it or does it for you.
That's what we're getting more and more of.
Yeah. Right? And that would be awesome because, you know, you got to watch six different videos because they're in different spots and you're like, that's not what I want. I want that. And then, you know, like the sixth video down, you're like, oh, that's exactly what I wanted.
Exactly.
Oh, well, I knew how to do that. I just didn't remember how to do it.
It's going to get real crazy, real fast with the stuff that's going to come out of this. And that's the thing is, like, how do we be respectful of privacy, copyright, other things? We need to think about that now, and we need to build that into these systems now and not a year from now, because then it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
Last up for episode 53 is, who thought asking the internet to name NASA's Uranus mission was a good idea? Oh, for goodness sakes. So, an unofficial Twitter account called Ice Giant Missions asked the public to name a probe that will explore Uranus. The Uranus Orbiter and Probe is a project by NASA planned for launch in the early 2030s, so it's still a little ways out. The mission aims to orbit Uranus and potentially send a probe to its surface to study its composition.
Uranus.
The Twitter account's question misled some people into thinking NASA itself was involved, although there is no official NASA initiative for naming the mission. Some of the naming suggestions shared by Ice Giant Missions included creative acronyms like anus and rectum. I don't know what you were those two stood for. Other suggestions were more obvious and included Operation Butt Plug, Pegasus, Seymour Butts, and Suppository. The infamous Bodie McBoatface naming incident is referenced as an example of why public naming can be problematic. That one was they actually had to use that name, didn't they?
But did you actually go to the Twitter link and actually start reading through some?
I did not read all the comments. Oh, no,
I didn't read. I didn't read all of them because there were so many. But they were absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, like some of these. Yeah, the good ship Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. But yeah, there were some hilarious.
Yeah, it's like you're asking the public to come up with a name for a probe going to Uranus. yeah. So some of the older ones were Voyager, Cassini, New Horizons, Juno, Perseverance. We want to know, what would you name the Uranus orbiter and probe mission? Yeah. This was a little while ago, but 791 replies. I mean, they kind of did a compilation of. Also, here is like
delicious.
So ANUS was acronym for Advanced New Uranus Space Mission, but BUTT acronym for Better Uranus Telemetry Tracking. Charmin, Deep Dive, Enema, Mission Colonoscopy, Operation Butt Plug, Our ANUS, Poop, Planetary Orbital Orientation Probe, Proby McProbe Face, Prostate Exam, Space Heater, Toranus.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Absolutely insane.
I mean, if you don't think you're going to get trolled on those names, you're just... I mean, I'm sure that's why they did it, right? And
well, yeah.
There was no, like... I mean, if you had any inclination that NASA asked for this, you know, you're just...
It's still fun, though.
It was pretty funny.
Now, do you guys actually know that there is a Uranus... is it in Arizona?
Uranus or Uranus?
No, it's your anus. And they have a fudge factory.
Oh yeah, I did see that on TikTok.
Yeah, their fudge is actually really good.
You had it?
Yeah, guy at work gets it, and he gets all these newsletters or emails all the time, and he reads their stuff.
Huh?
Like the whole town is into it. Come to Uranus, you know, and they have their plumbers and all the fun stuff that you can do with Uranus.
I mean.
Good stuff. Good one to end on.
Yes.